David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I know it's a little cold outside, but we're inside and we have a roof over our head. We've got heat. More importantly, we got the Lord in the house. Oh, hallelujah. Before we begin, can we go to God in prayer? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, you are God of everything, oh Lord. You are the God that spoke the world into existence. You are the God that holds us in the palm of your hands. It is your angels who woke us this morning and started us on our way. It is you who watched us, Father, and kept us as we walked through the valleys, Father, through the storms, oh Heavenly Father. You've been so good to us, oh Heavenly Father. We cannot do but one thing, and that is to lift you up, Father, to say, Lord, you are worthy of our praise, Father. As we come into this sanctuary today, Lord, we ask that you would accept our humble pleas, Lord. Take our hands, guide us and direct us and lead us, Lord, as we lift up your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. It's just good. Anytime you can come to the house of the Lord. I know I have to give you a title, but Sister Beth, can I have just one verse to get started? Give me a familiar verse. Give me Proverbs 29 and verse 18. And yes, I have a title. I've kind of given a little curveball, so we'll get there. It's a familiar verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, everyone has to have a vision. You have to have a vision. You have some idea of what you want to do. Let me give you something I wrote down today. I want you to think about this. Life is not about doing things right, but about doing the right things right. Life is not about doing things right, but about doing the right thing right. Understand something. I have to give you a title. You got the title, Sister Beth? It's a simple title. I have to or I get to. Those are two distinct differences. Two totally different mentalities. Understand something when you look at that picture. I have to or I get to. Understand that I have to feels more like an obligation. But I get to speaks of your own free will. See, sometimes we talk about, I have to go to church. But in reality, I get the opportunity to go to church. Understand something. I have to go to work. But better yet, I get to go to work. I have the opportunity to have a job. I get to go to church because I go have an opportunity to go to lift up the name of Jesus. Can I have the next picture? It's interesting because I want to talk about something that nobody likes to talk about. In the old days, they'd always tell you, if you have to make a major decision, make it walking through a cemetery. They'd always tell you that. We don't like to do it because no one wants to talk about that situation. But let me tell you a little secret. Ain't none of us staying here forever. We're either going to get to heaven because the rapture comes, or we're going to go by way of the grave. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Understand something. You have to begin with the ending in mind. That is the ending if the Lord tarries for your earthly walk, for this physical body that we presently dwell in. For we are spiritual beings that's in a temporary home in a human body. Understand what I'm trying to establish here. I need you to begin to look at life through real eyes, not through the eyes the newspaper tell you, the magazine tells you, Hollywood tell you, because they're selling you an illusion. Let me tell you something. They are trying to sell you a huge illusion. But they don't talk about the ending of the story. I want you to always begin to understand the ending of the story. I'm going to turn and we're going to read a section of Luke chapter 17. And you don't have to stand because it's a long reading. But I want you to begin to understand something. Luke chapter 17, I'll begin in verse number 11. And it came to pass, as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. That's an interesting story because it has to go back to the beginning of time as we walk along this road I call the earthly journey. Understand something. From the beginning of time, God desired a relationship with man. The Bible tells us in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, God came in the cool of the afternoon to walk with Adam and Eve. Understand something. The Bible tells us in Genesis, Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was no more. Understand something. God desires a relationship with you. Understand what I'm trying to establish this morning. You have to begin to understand something. We look at the Old Testament, and Old Testament teaches us something interesting. One of the things I tried to understand was, why did the Israelites struggle in the wilderness? They struggled in the wilderness for an interesting reason. There's an interesting exchange that takes place in Exodus. Give me Exodus 20, verse 19. And let me, this is the most interesting thing that I looked at and I said, this makes sense. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Understand what they were saying. They were saying, we do not want a relationship with God. We want you to go have the relationship and then deliver the message to us. This is what they said. Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Now, that's interesting because that really doesn't make sense. If he really wanted to kill them, he could have killed them. Now, listen. You don't walk across the Red Sea on dry ground. You look behind you and you saw what he just did to the Egyptians. If he really wanted to kill them, he could have just let the water come back. And everybody said, oh, God was mean to him because he drowned them. Or he could have just said, you know what? I'm not going to part the Red Sea. Just let the Egyptians kill him. He was not about you dying. Understand what I'm trying to say? But they were at a point that they really were not desiring a relationship with God. They wanted all the blessings without the obligations that came on the other side. Understand something. We live in a society that wants all the desserts but don't want to do anything to prepare the food. Go back and look at Exodus chapter 20. Because you realize where they say that verse at? Right after God lays out the Ten Commandments. Well, God, I'm having a good time. Thank you. We're on the other side. We're doing good. But now you tell us we got to have some rules. Understand something. Living for God is not about no rules. If you think living for God is about rules, you have missed the point. It's about a relationship. If you have the right relationships, the rules take care of themselves. Understand what I'm saying this morning? So now the Israelites are out there, and they say, Moses, you go talk to God and you deliver the message. Understand, let me put that in modern terms. We're in church, we're in the New Testament. And don't take this wrong. That's like saying, Pastor, you go pray and then you come tell us what God got to say. I don't want to go pray and hear what God got to say. But you go do it. You go spend some time in the prayer room. You come tell me what he has to say. But I don't want to hear it. Because if you deliver the message to me, I could just say, that's just Pastor McCoy talking. That ain't really God talking. I'm just being straight with you. But if God speaks to me, I either have one or two choices, obey or not obey. There's no communication in between. Nobody's standing in the gap. There's no misinterpretation. But when God tells you to do something, it's either I obey or I don't obey. But if you want to make church easier, then we ought to be hearing what God got to say. Moses, like when the wilderness would have been a whole lot easier if the Israelites said, I'm going to go hear what God got to say. Now, understand something. We look at them, they get to the promised land, not but two people. Joshua and Caleb get in. The story tells us there are more than 2 million people. What happened to the other 1,999,998? Understand, so I'm trying to tell you, God does not want to kill you. Understand, I'm just trying to make life simple because I'm going to go somewhere with this message. Because understand something. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. Give me verse 11 of chapter 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Understand something. That's an interesting verse. Moses and Joshua go into the tabernacle. God speaks to Moses. Moses leave. Joshua tarries. Joshua understood that there is more than something here. I'm going to get something for God for myself. I can talk to God. Listen, you can talk to God anytime you want to. We walk around like, no, I can't talk to God, right? God is always listening. But the real question is, do you want to talk to him? Here's the simple. I'm going to take you to the end. Now, how do you think you're going to get to heaven, which is God's heaven, without a relationship with him? And stay there for all eternity. So God comes to visit. And it's not just it's God. It's Jesus coming to visit you. So you sit there and go, I don't know you. I don't know you. But I'm enjoying your heaven, but thank you for letting me come. He said, no. There is when he says what? He's going to come. There's going to come a day of judgment. See, people don't understand. It says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. We're all going to have to prepare for the final examination. So if you're going to prepare for the final examination, you never flunk the exam. You flunk the preparation for the exam. Understand, I'm trying to tell somebody today, you got to begin to understand what it's about. We can all do the right thing, but we got to do the right thing the right way. Understand. Now look at Luke, where we were. Go to Luke chapter 17. It's an interesting story that begins to take place here. First of all, Jesus meets the lepers. It's interesting because I looked at this story going, this story is amazing. Where he meets the lepers along the road. The lepers do something interesting. Jesus is passing down and says, and Jesus, he was passing to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. There is something interesting here. Galilee, he could pass through officially. Samaritan, they were really not supposed to. He was not supposed to go through Samaria. But he decided to pass through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men, which were lepers, which stood afar off. it's interesting that here he is. Jesus is coming. The lepers need something, but they stand afar off. In my world, that's like me trying to give you a shot and you standing across the room. I'm like, buddy, you know, this needle's going to hurt, but it's going to only hurt for a moment. But understand something. They are standing afar off. We are guilty of that a lot of times when we come to church. We need something for God, but we stand afar off. We're like, I need something, but I just don't want to go close to him. I may have to deal with this relationship. But they stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Understand something. When they did that, they were afar off, which means when they were calling on his name, they wasn't whispering, Jesus, Jesus. They were screaming, Jesus. Let me tell you something. In the midnight hour when you need something, you're not whispering to God. You're screaming. You're saying, Jesus, Master. He said what? Call upon me and I will answer you. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. He said, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. He said, call upon me. He says, he will answer you. So now the lepers are hollering at him saying, Jesus, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. This is interesting. And it came to pass as they went their way, they were cleansed. How did he cleanse them? He didn't put his hands on them. He didn't spit on it. The dirt, pick up the dirt, spit on it, put it over their eyes. Here's some. Listen, go show yourself. But they had to do something too. They had to obey. It sounds crazy when you think about the story, because he didn't lay his hands on them. He didn't say, thou be healed. He said, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that they went their way, they were cleansed. They were healed because they obeyed. Listen, if you want to get healed, you're going to have to get healed God's way. Not your way. You know, I live in a world today that when I go to see a patient a lot of times, I have to listen to Dr. Google. Dr. Google, man, he can tell them some stories. You go to see the patient, I can see the guy in his room and he's in the hospital. He's got his computer pulled up. He wants to talk to me about what Dr. Google got to say. So I got to read what Dr. Google has to say. And I tell my nurses all the time, what we have to do now is we have to untie the shoe so we can tie it back. In our lives, sometimes God got to untie our shoe so he can tie it back the right way. Because most times we can't do anything with it because we done tied the shoestring in a knot. Now we can't loose the shoe, we can't tighten the shoe. But understand something. So he speaks and tells them, go show yourself unto the priest. As they're going down the road, guess what happens? They get touched. They get healed. Turn back with a loud voice, glorify God. Listen to me. They're going down the road. They get cleansed. But how come only one of them get the full message? How many times in your life you've heard people say, if God just get me out of this situation, I'll go to church. God, you get me out of this, I'll live for you. God blesses them. They come to church one or two times and they stop coming. Well, I'm busy. I'm too busy to come back. Until they run into the next storm. Then all of a sudden they run into the next storm. They want to come to church. And the most interesting thing, I'm going to be honest with you, when people look at you and say, pray for me. I'm like, you can talk to me and ask me to pray, but you can't talk to God. They're talking, but they want you to talk to God. It's okay to have my brothers and sisters pray for us, but you also, if you can pray, ought to be praying for yourself, not leaving it to me. So all of a sudden, they're going, and one of them gets it. He saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, and what did he do? He glorified God. He glorified God. He is healed, and he starts glorifying God. What does he do? He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks that he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. Listen to me. He is the least likely to get healed. He is a Samaritan that Jesus is not even supposed to be able to talk to. What did the woman at the well tell Jesus? Listen, I'm a Samaritan. You Jews don't have anything to do with us. You can't talk to me. So he got a stripe. He's a Samaritan. He's got leprosy. And understand something in those days. People with leprosy did not live in the city. They had their own little city outside where all the lepers lived. Understand something. If we stop long enough, we understand something. We have no right to the blessing God gives us. When we stop long enough sometime to think about all the insults and all the things we've done to God and all the time we turned our back and walked away, all the times we made promises and not kept them. But all God is faithful. He's faithful. But one of them gets it. He turns around. He begins to glorify God. Listen what he does. He falls on his face at his feet. He doesn't stand up boldly in front of him. He falls on his face. He humbles himself before the Almighty God. If we could understand that, he humbles himself before God. And he gives him thanks. And Jesus says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the other 9? He wants to know what happened to the rest of your group. So you look around. And the rest of them have got their blessings and they're gone. They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. They were healed, but they didn't want to give God the glory for the healing. We ain't going to give him the glory. Thank you, he healed us, but I'm going to give him the glory. Understand something. That's why people tell you in the world today, I got lucky. I got lucky. There is no such thing as luck. Luck means, when you look it up, it happens by chance. But in reality, people get blessed. The problem with that statement is, if I say I got blessed, I have to give credit to the blesser. Then I have to tell them that God really exists. And our society today, they don't want to accept that. Well, I just got lucky today. You ain't get lucky, you got blessings. That's like saying, I'm going to get lucky and get into heaven. Yeah, you're going to get lucky and get into heaven. You better realize it's God's heaven. So all of a sudden, we look around. He couldn't find him. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. It's interesting. Go back. Give me verse 15. Verse 15. He was healed. He was healed. But give me verse 19. Their faith has made thee whole. There's a difference between healed in the physical body and dealing with the spiritual man. They both exist better. Remember I told you in the beginning, you're a spiritual being dwelling within a human body? They got the human body healing, but they forgot to get the rest of it. Jesus continued to remind him in the New Testament. He would look at him and say, you know what? Your sins be forgiven. They wrestled with that statement because they really didn't realize who he was. Well, how could he say that? He's using blasphemy. No, he's not using blasphemy. He's reminding you that he is God manifest in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. But this is an interesting story because as we move through life, we got to begin to look at things through the right eyes. We got to understand something. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. You say, the Israelites said, but no, don't have God speak to us, at least we die. Well, let's go back to that little statement. That is true. That is true. Can I have Exodus back, chapter 20, verse 19? It's true. Give me that verse back. Let not God speak with us, lest we die. That's true. We die. Listen to me. If God speaks to you and save you, your fleshly man gonna have to die. He gotta die. Not your spiritual man, but that fleshly man, he gotta die. They're speaking the truth right, they gotta die. The Bible says what? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. He became new. Understand what I'm trying to tell you. You gotta realize Nicodemus wrestled with this very same thing when he had a discussion with Jesus. Jesus says, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. What mean? What does that mean? I got to be born again. Can I enter into my mother's womb the second time? No, Jesus said, no. You got to understand something, Nicodemus. You got to be born of the water and of the spirit. Understand something. Otherwise, you can't see in the spirit. Understand something. You're right. You're going to have to die. You're going to have to take this fleshly, this living sacrifice and lay it down on the altar. When God speaks to you. Understand, as I hurry to a close, you got to begin to make a decision. In this world we live in, we're going to wrestle with some things. There's some things that's going to come upon you and you're not quite going to know how to handle it. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord. How many times we talk to God and say, God, speak to me. Speak to me. Why do you think the world's got something going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? You go out to eat nowadays, they got something playing. They got something on the screen. They got the music playing. Listen, I just want to eat in peace. Listen, I don't want. Oh. Okay. Most of y'all are too young to remember this. Brother Milton remember this. I remember this. Years ago, when you only had one telephone in your house, fam, listen to me, one television phone, old black telephone that sat in the hallway on that long cord, okay? You sitting down having dinner, the family sitting down having dinner. That phone rings, what do they tell them? Tell them we eating dinner. Wasn't nobody getting on the phone. It wasn't like you going somewhere, you go out to eat now and everybody on the phone. No, that dinner time, that was sacred time. Understand what I'm trying to tell you? That was family time. That was dinner time. And was nobody going to interrupt it. So you got to get to the point that you also begin to understand when you walk with God. There are some times when I'm in my prayer time that, no, I am not answering my phone. I'm sorry I'm not going somewhere with you. But my God and I are having a conversation here. He's preparing me for whatever I need to know. You got to get to that point where that time in that relationship, that communication. But understand something. It takes discipline to do it. It takes discipline to do it. Because that flesh don't want to go sit over there. That flesh does not want to read the word of God. Because you know what? I've had a long day. Can you stand as I come to a close? I've had a long day. It's been a long day at work. I've been off. They beat me up today at work. I'm tired. My feet hurt. My feet hurt. But as I close this morning, I want you to remember this. It's a simple, I'm going to give you 6 words. 6 words to remember. Think of this. Long days, short years, heaven forever. Long days, short years, heaven forever. If you can just hold out, it may seem like it's long days. The years may pass quickly because if you get older, you look back and they're going off fast. But you have one thing to hold on to. Heaven's forever. Heaven forever. Stay faithful. Just hold on when you think you can't hold on anymore. Talk to God about it. He says, listen, lo, I am with thee always, even until the end of the earth. Shall we pray? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, you're God that created everything, oh Lord. We thank you for this opportunity this morning to just come to hear your words, Father. Thank you for speaking to us, Father. Thank you for taking our hands and guide us, Father, as we take a break this morning, Father. Let us mention you, Father, in everything. Let the thoughts be about you, Father. Let our words be about you, Lord. Let you receive the glory and the honor, Father. We give you praise today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you back at 1 o'clock.